Keynesian economics was a snare and delusion in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We're going to find that it was a snare and delusions in the O's and the teens. Once the stimulus package was announced and was not yet specified, there were groups all over this country spending real resources in order to figure out how they could get some of this money. There was a chancellor-level task force put together on the University of California Irvine campus to try to figure out what they could put on a stimulus list. The thing that most people don't realize is that, yes, the professors on this campus are getting the $42 million. There's some graduate students that are going to be employed as a result of that. But where did the $42 million come from? Did it just descend like manna from heaven? It could very well have come from other projects that would have been more productive and more worthy. The typical research scientist on this campus makes twice the median household income, maybe three times. And we have professors on this campus that are making six, seven, eight times the median household income. There are maids in Santa Monica who are paying taxes, federal taxes in one form or another, to help fund the lifestyle of professors who live a very good lifestyle, I have to say.
Because of the steps we took, there are about 2 million Americans working right now who would otherwise be unemployed. 300,000 are teachers and other education workers. Tens of thousands are cops, firefighters, correctional officers, first responders.
What you hear in the press and from the Obama administration is one side of the argument. That is, if the federal government takes money and goes over here and buys cars or buys houses or buys whatever, that's going to cause jobs over here to be created. And you can see those jobs there. But what is never mentioned in this debate is something Milton Friedman used to harp on all the time, and that is, where does the federal government get the money that it spends? And the secret is that they go out and they borrow the money. And if they borrow the money, that means they take money away from other projects that would have been undertaken had the federal government not sucked up all of these lendable funds. The problem with some of the stimulus money is that we've reactivated the view that some firms are too big to fail. Well, most people don't realize that means that firms are going to become too big, because if in fact you save firms that are big, have posed a systemic risk to the economy, that means those firms are going to be able to attract investment dollars at a cheaper rate than firms that are smaller. And the bigger firms are going to grow, and they're going to be even too bigger. Again, with the threat of the deficit, the dollar, the stability of the dollar can unravel. The dollar can depreciate, which means that in the future you have a taxation through higher-priced imports. And I don't think people realize that the United States government can become the next Greece. It can become the next California if it goes off on profligate spending sprees, as it apparently has done. And we just don't have the stimulus thing to concern with, is that once you open up, uncork, D.C., for stimulus packages, you uncork it for doing all kinds of other things.
We should put more Americans to work building clean energy facilities and give rebates to Americans who make their homes more energy efficient.
I'm considering putting solar panels on an office shed that I have at home. Why? Because one-third of the cost of it is going to be covered by various programs. And I've been told that I might be able to get the whole thing covered. I can get electricity. I can then pretend to all my colleagues, look, I've got solar panels. I'm green. But in fact, I'm probably damaging the economy because I'm soaking up more resources than I would have needed to soak up had I used some other less green technology. If, in fact, green technology were cost-effective, then of course it could be a good idea. But if, in fact, it were cost-effective, you wouldn't need all these subsidies. Do remember that the federal deficit this year, I think, is $1.7 trillion. 43% of, of the federal budget. The federal debt is $14 trillion, with prospects of it's going to $20 trillion by 2015. And that's probably, that's the government's official estimate, so you can probably guess it will actually go further. And we have the threat of health care reform packages that can be extraordinarily expensive and unfunded. And combine all of these things, and we have the threat of higher taxes on the horizons, especially for higher income groups, who, generally speaking, are the people who are the most productive. The best economic course 2 years ago, actually, going into last year, would have been just to let things rip. And I know that comes as somehow harsh from somebody whose job is very secure. I've got lifetime employment here at the University of California, Irvine. But at the same time, the issue is whether the medication is worse than the disease. We're into a recovery, but I think it has very little to do with the stimulation that the government has provided. It has more to do with the fact that you had a lot of people out there who are unemployed, who have resources that are unemployed, and they faced hardship, and they've started to find ways to redeploy themselves and their resources in constructive ways. Who's to say that the political process can actually be more effective in bringing about a recovery than a market process? In the case of the political process, we're relying on the 535 people in Congress and a few thousand people around Obama. In the market process, we're going to be relying on 308 million people. And I ask you, where is the greater collective brains? The silver lining may be that we're going to prove that government is far more impotent in reviving the economy than we've been led to believe. In the long run, in the very long run, Keynes is going to be dead. Finally.